You've probably seen them in pictures. Huge stone figures that on average stand 13 feet high and weigh 14 tons. The largest one is thought to weigh as much as 165 tons, 330,000 pounds. There are, get this, about 900 of these giant statues on the island, and nobody's sure why. In the year 1722, European explorers made contact with the isolated people whose ancestors carved these massive statues. And because it was Easter Day, the discovery was named Easter Island. For centuries, Easter Island has fascinated the people who have the opportunity to visit this remote land. Scientists, scholars, and visitors to the island have searched for the answers about why the islanders made these statues, how they were carved, or better yet, how they moved them to different locations on the island. Theories abound, but with no definite answers, Easter Island and these huge statues remain a fascinating miracle. An island miracle that may, according to recent news, be in jeopardy of being washed into the sea. 2 weeks ago, I read several articles that described Easter Island as the latest victim of climate change. The island's inhabitants report rising sea levels that are eroding the shoreline, putting the massive stone figures at risk, uncovering graves, and washing up the bones of their ancestors. According to these articles, the very existence of Easter Island is in jeopardy. And as I considered the remote island's dire circumstance, I couldn't help but draw parallels between Easter Island and Easter Day. For 2,000 years, 20 centuries of Christianity, our Lord's resurrection on Easter Day has served as the foundation and the pinnacle of the Christian faith. The entirety of our faith hinges on the reality of this singular event. As St. Paul so bluntly said, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. The resurrection is the constant, continuous, moment by moment, day by day, transforming historic truth that the faith of billions rests upon. Yet in recent years, for many Christians, Easter Day seems to have become a little more like Easter Island. A fascinating miracle that's far removed from everyday life. A remote island that we make plans to visit once a year instead of the home in which we live every day. If we view Easter Day and the resurrection of our Lord as nothing more than an annual religious observance instead of a daily reality, then Easter and the risen Christ will become an island that we've separated from the continent of our faith. Such an island would be subject to the rising seas, the crashing waves, and the shifting sand of our own quickly changing cultural climate. As we speak, scientists are at work trying to protect the shores and preserve the statues on Easter Island, and as faithful Christians, we must go to work earnestly contending for Easter Day, for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, declaring the truth that Easter is not an island. It's the heartland of our faith. Our culture pressures us to separate Sunday from Monday, religion from the rest of the week, Easter Day from the rest of the year. But we must not. Because Easter isn't just a day of the year. It's every day of the year. Christ is risen every day. He is alive every day. He is our Lord and our God every day. In the epistle that we read this morning, St. Paul exhorts us, certainly on a daily basis, to seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. He tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, because our souls long to be united to the God who created us. We were made to live in constant union and communion with the God who so perfectly, so personally, and so painfully declared his love for us. The Bible offers examples of those who continuously seek Christ, those whose affection is set on things above. But through Holy Week, and now once again on Easter Day, in Mary Magdalene, we see an example of unceasing devotion like no other. Her example of authentic discipleship helps us recognize that for those who seek Christ, Easter is not an island holiday among the days of the year, but a holy day whose truth is miraculous, fully present, and relevant every day of the year. So for just a moment, step back in time with me, and let's consider the way we walk with Christ in light of the way Mary walked with Christ. Mary Magdalene was one of the women who accompanied Jesus as he ministered on this earth, the woman from whom he'd cast out 7 demons. Jesus healed her affliction. He set Mary free from a miserable existence, and the depth of her gratitude could not be measured. Perhaps gratitude, which grew into a deep, profound love, led Mary to remain at the foot of the cross on Good Friday. Perhaps gratitude and the love that springs from a thankful heart led Mary to rise early on that Easter day when it was yet dark to discover the empty tomb and to be the first person to witness the risen Christ. Perhaps abundant gratitude and sincere love for her Lord led Mary to forsake all and devote her life completely to him. If we look only at the events of Holy Week and Easter Day, it would be easy for us to conclude that no one loved our Lord as much as Mary. No one felt they owed him so much. It is Mary that we see last at the cross and first at the tomb. When we consider Mary's daily walk with Christ, the first striking truth that we must acknowledge is her grateful love. From the beginning, Mary's example causes us to think about the price Jesus paid for us all, the way he set us all free from the most miserable existence. And it makes me wonder, could the failure to recognize how much we owe him be one of the reasons why, for so many Christians, Easter becomes an island that is disconnected and irrelevant to daily life? It can certainly be said that if a person feels no gratitude for what Christ has done, they're not going to respond. If they feel a little thankful, they might muster up a small response. But if we, like Mary, are intensely aware of what Christ has done for us, then there will be no limit to the extent of our grateful love for him. We will be those who spend and are willing to be spent in the name of Jesus. The Son of God had set her free. And Mary's grateful, loving response to the healing that only he could provide was to offer him her life as a living sacrifice. She laid her life on the altar, a life of service devoted to God's use. It is this sacrificial devotion that leads her to deny her own will and courageously follow him. Consider for a moment the climate change that Mary experienced in Jerusalem on Good Friday. Picture the rising seas and the crashing waves created by all those people who joyously welcomed Jesus just days before, that we're now calling for his crucifixion. But when when the crowd rejected Jesus and his message, when strong men who'd followed him for years betrayed him, denied him, abandoned him, Mary remained faithful. She didn't waver. She stood in brave opposition to the angry crowd, the Roman soldiers, and the religious leaders as one who knew and loved Jesus. She didn't surrender her place as a follower of him when the cultural climate changed. She wasn't ashamed of Jesus, even when he hung on the cross. She remained a faithful disciple of this crucified man. And on the third day, her faithfulness was rewarded when she was met by the risen Christ outside that empty tomb, and when he called her by name. Today, Mary Magdalene is known as the apostle to the apostles because she was the first person to witness the risen Christ and the first to share that news with his disciples. She had a message for them. And today, by her example, Mary has a message for us. Her message is that Easter and the historic truth that Christ is risen is not a day that we can separate from our faith. It is our faith. And in Mary's example, we discover a way to make that truth a daily reality. She shows us that it all begins with grateful love. When your heart is filled with gratitude for what Christ has done for you, you will devote your life on a daily basis to him. And in his perfect example, what you will discover is that devotion means sacrifice. Laying down your life for the one you love. Here's a closing thought. As I prepared these words to share with you today, I thought a lot about Easter Island. But now that this sermon's over, I doubt that Easter Island will cross my mind. It's just not a relevant part of my daily life. I've never been there. I have no plans to visit. And give me a week, I probably won't be able to find it on the map. However, I'm well aware that there's something I could do to change that. I could go there. I could make the choice to encounter Easter Island. If I did that, if I had lunch on the beach, if I met the people, if I touched one of those 300,000-pound statues, I would discover the truth. That Easter Island is so much more than a sermon intro or a dot on the map. You see, the truth is, Easter Island exists, whether I choose to go there or not. But by making the decision to visit the island, I would move from simply knowing that such a place exists to experiencing it personally. It's only through that personal experience that I would begin to understand its relevance to my daily life. I believe the same can be said of Easter Day and the resurrection of our Lord. God exists, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead, whether we choose to go there or not. But when we make the decision to have a personal encounter with him, then we discover his relevance every moment of every day. So my prayer for all of us this morning is that we would make that decision to encounter the living God, Jesus Christ, who rose on Easter Day. May we, like Mary, walk with him and remain faithful in the midst of our changing culture. May we, like Mary, kneel at the cross in the evening and seek him early in the morning. And by the grace of God, may we, like Mary, have our faithfulness rewarded when the Son of God greets us and calls us by name. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.